We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by M-Prize Bank, your partner in possible. Who you do business with is more important than where they're located. Bank from the comfort of your own home with M-Prize Bank. Coming up, the latest episode of the KC Laboratory Podcast with Ken Swanson, Craig Stout, and Matt Lane. Coming to you on the fastest-growing sports media network in Kansas City. You can find all of our channels covering all the local teams wherever you listen to podcasts or on YouTube. Just search KCSN. And now, the latest episode of the KC Laboratory.
It's a live edition of the KC Laboratory presented by M-Prize Bank, member FDIC. Maddie Lane, I've been speculating about your likes all afternoon. How are you today?
I don't think I like that much stuff on Twitter, but if I have, you know, have fun. Go through there and have a blast, I guess. It's a pretty good day. It's an all right day. Craig is, in fact, great. I'm excited to talk about some free agency. I'm excited to talk about the reigning Super Bowl champions, Kansas City Chiefs. Craig, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing wonderful. You mean the three-time Super Bowl champion? Yeah. Is that what you're referring to? Two times in the modern era, but three times. Sorry. Yeah, we're gonna lay that one there. It's the last time that we'll do that one. I mean, hey, I'm excited. Chiefs gave us more stuff to talk about. Free agency, pretty good so far for the Kansas City Chiefs, and obviously still more holes to fill. So we got content, boys. It's not always the case after this little doldrum period of free agents.
I love anytime Craig uses a word that I've never heard before, and doldrum is that today. Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button if you're watching. Appreciate everybody hanging out.
Excuse me, you never heard the word doldrum before?
I have. It's okay. It's just like, it's very rarely used.
I'm pretty sure that Ken said indoldrum. Like, he added an extra syllable to the beginning of that.
No, okay. I did not do that. That did not happen. We will probably talk about the likes of Patrick Mahomes later, but we do have some news to break down. Because the last time that we talked here on this fine program, Drew Tranquil was not a Chief. He was not even remotely on their radar because the Kansas City Chiefs have three linebackers that they've invested a top 100 picks in the last 3 years. But lo and behold, the Chiefs elect to make a move, sign two defensive players that are really going to help the back seven of their defense. But we'll start with Drew Tranquil. Rival turned someone that finally is sick of Patrick Mahomes beating him like a drum and wants to actually win something. So he joins the Kansas City Chiefs. Tertiary is also one of the crutch words of Craig Stout. He's extremely smart and talented. Grayson Jaspers has picked up on that as well. Anyways, initial thoughts on Drew Tranquil signing. We're going to start with Craig. Maddie, we've talked to you about this. You had some opinions on this before. Craig, I want to hear from you first on the Drew Tranquil signing.
You got your dime linebacker right there. I think it was very apparent that the very first thing that came out from a lot of the media that are connected closely to Brett Veach and the Kansas City Chiefs is green dot. Everybody wants to talk about the fact that he had the green dot last year, was the de facto Mike linebacker, coverage linebacker. Guys, this just screams, and not just because it's a white linebacker. It just screams like the Ben Neiman move, where you've got a guy that you trust to come in, run your dime, be the solo linebacker that can cover a little bit, call the defense, make adjustments, run it out of the hurry up when offenses are trying to kind of run the 2-minute drill. Drew Tranquil checks like every single box in that. He's what they asked of Ben Neiman on steroids. He really is. He's just a better athlete. He's more fluid, a former safety that has converted to linebacker that was, you know, his last couple of years at Notre Dame. A guy that we were pretty high on coming out. He was a little bit light coming out. He's bulked up since. The athleticism still there. The football IQ is still there. This is a bargain deal that it sounds like he took, chose the Chiefs over five other suitors that the money was better. He wants to be in Kansas City. He's not coming to Kansas City to be a backup linebacker. He's coming here to play a major role, whether that is just the dime or if it's kind of some will linebacker as well, remains to be seen. But he's going to get opportunities. He's choosing this not because he's ring chasing, because he feels like they're going to put him in the best spot to earn another contract after this 1-year deal.
Yeah, so I mean, I think you got to start with Tranquil. You got to kind of look at what snaps he's played for, I guess, the Chargers over his career, which is essentially 2,000 snaps. He played with the Chargers over 4 years, one of the years he was injured, but over 1,000 of them have been in coverage. So he's played far more coverage snaps than he has run defense snaps. Now, that's not abnormal for a three-down linebacker, but that's the thing. I just said the key word. Three-down linebacker, which means that's a coverage linebacker. That's a guy that is staying on the field for all of the coverage reps. Most teams aren't going to take off, you know, their best coverage linebacker just because it's a rundown frequently. So, yeah, he's a guy that has been trusted in coverage with the Chargers under two different coaching staffs that have relatively that are good defensive coaching staffs, right? Like, it's not like it's just a slap together defensive coaching room that he's been with the Chargers. Two entirely different schemes have used Drew Tranquil as their de facto coverage linebacker in the middle of the field. It was more so a couple years ago before Brandon Staley got there, but he was a huge part of how they shut down the Chiefs 3-by-1 deep over stuff. He was part of their kind of blueprint to slow that down, having the weak side linebacker away from the 3-by-1, get vertical, keep eyes on that deep crosser, and then that way your safeties could stay deep over everything. He was part of the reason they were able to kind of show how to slow down that exact formation by the Chiefs. He's also played really well in coverage against specifically the Chiefs, but against everybody else. So from that perspective, the Chiefs just got a lot better or more proven. I think we all think Willie Gay has flashes of potential in coverage. Mm-hmm. Has the ability to get out there, cover a lot of ground, make deflections on the ball, tackle guys in space, but he doesn't always make a ton of plays. He doesn't shut down a ton of stuff, and there are situations where he maybe doesn't end up in the right spot. He gets sucked up against play action and is forced to recover and really turn to flip his hips, robot out, and try to cover a lot of ground. I just think Tranquil increases the floor of that coverage and maybe even the ceiling just because he seems to get it a little bit better. So like, I think day one, you know, practice starts, training camp starts, I would be shocked if you don't see him fighting for that number one dime linebacker spot. And if not, getting some looks in the nickel just because of the coverage ability alone.
100% lockstep with you. You know, I think some thoughts initially, like even when we were talking, it's like, okay, why are the Chiefs doing this? Why is this move happening? You know, this team spent three top 100 picks in the last 3 years, the linebacker position. You know, I know Willie Gay's on a contract year and all that stuff. But that would seem to indicate that you believe Willie Gay is going to have a big year as he's playing for his money and all this stuff. But the most logical place to take snaps away from this linebacker group is Willie Gay. So it's fascinating to me that this group, you know, or that the Chiefs grabbed a guy like Drew Tranquil. But the funny thing is like, this wasn't on our radar. A guy that has such great chops in coverage wasn't exactly on our radar either, because this team has always prioritized big physical guys that can play to run. And I'm not going to say that Drew Tranquil, you know, is a slouch by any stretch of the word. He's listed at 234 pounds. I don't think he plays at 234, if I'm being honest. When I watch him play, I don't think there's any chance he's playing over 230 pounds. He plays the run fine, capably, you know, but I don't necessarily consider him a guy that is going to stop the run like a Leo Chanel, like a Willie Gay downhill, like a Nick Bolton downhill. So I just found it very interesting. I dare say refreshing that the Chiefs prioritize getting a guy that can play in coverage the way that Drew Tranquil can. And I think we've always just kind of been resigned to the fact that this team was going to throw someone they trust out there in the dime, a la Nick Bolton. Well, now we've got a bona fide player that can cover. And I just think that's so refreshing almost, I think, with the approach on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah. I mean, and it's not just that. It's making yourself better in the dime. I think the spot that everybody remembers the Chiefs being poorest, basically, in defense was third and longs. You know, they're at the end of the year, beating that over the head with a hammer, how often the Chiefs were allowing third and long conversions. And part of that is because you didn't have somebody in the middle of the field that you trusted to be able to carry a guy vertically to the safety, that you trusted to be able to pivot, swivel, and carry a drag across the middle of the field. That's stuff that Drew Tranquil can do. And so you can operate with him in the middle of the field, not just as a space eater. I'm not trying to dunk on Nick Bolton here, but Nick Bolton's ability to track those sorts of routes is not his forte. So him playing in the dime was more about his ability to call the defense and make sure that everybody was on the same page versus what was happening after the snap. Because if it was after the snap, it would be a guy like Willie Gay Jr. with the athletic ability to carry and run with guys in the middle of the field. Now you get a little bit of both. You get kind of the best of both worlds there. Tranquil's not the athlete that Willie Gay Jr. is, but he is the kind of guy that you trust to cover, that call the defense, adjust, check out of blitzes. You know, we saw too often where the Chiefs are in a big Steve Spagnuolo blitz. Somebody shifts out into a spot that they shouldn't be. And what happens? Nobody checks out of it. That was something that Ben Neiman did excellently. Check out of that, try and get guys in the right spots and try and limit those sorts of things. Those third and extra long conversions are what killed the Chiefs on defense at the end of the year. Didn't end up costing them, but that was the difference between this defense being really good and allowing a couple of extra points every single game just because they were allowing these longer drives than they needed to be. They did a good job of creating negative plays on early downs through that front. They got themselves into advantageous positions in third downs and then couldn't get off the field. Drew Tranquil and the guy that we're about to talk about, the safety that they signed, Mike Edwards, are targeted efforts to get rid of those conversions. So I love it. I absolutely love it. If that's all he plays, I'm going to love it, but he certainly has the flexibility to step in there at the will. And you've got a guy that you trust at the Mike linebacker in case Nick Bolton can't go for the entire season. So it's like a win-win-win-win scenario having Drew Tranquil on this roster.
Well, and you mentioned not as good of an athlete as Willie Gay. Buddy, better athlete than Willie Gay, according to RAS.
From RAS, yes.
No, Willie Gay's freakishness was how fast he ran, but like at some point in time, there's like, for athletic metrics, there's like a point of, you know, diminishing returns, and like, yeah, not that it was ever bad, just he stopped getting as much of a boost for being so darn fast and so thick at the same time. So I wanted to go back. Drew Tranquil is coming off his best year versus the run, right? Like, he's not a bad run defender. He's not a great run defender. He's not a thumper. Like, you're not going to have him go in there and want to be the point man and taking on a fullback or a pulling guard, but he's not bad. He had his most stops this past, you know, season with the Chargers. Granted, it was because he played his most snaps, but he was coming in, he was playing his most reps, and he was playing it fine. He is the, you know, quintessential will run and chase linebacker. You put him on the backside, you say you work away around and across all this traffic, and then you cover stuff. That's exactly what he can do. So like, if I'm starting to pace out what this team's going to look like, Nick Bolton's clearly your Mike. I think Drew Tranquil's the guy that's going to play Will even at base. I know the Chiefs have done Willie Gay in that role, but also, they put Willie Gay as the strong side linebacker plenty in base. They don't really care who's on which side. He will happily walk up to the line of scrimmage. So I think you just keep doing that. I think you let Willie or Leo Chanel, whoever you want, because Leo Chanel's still there. They only have one more year of control over Willie Gay. Let Leo Chanel or Willie Gay kind of fight for the same role. But I'm not putting it out completely out of the question that Drew Tranquil is the day one weak side linebacker, even in base coverage. I think his skill set is probably the best for that. As much as I like Willie Gay's ability to play the run and the athleticism, I just think Tranquil's better in coverage than Willie Gay is, and he can do the exact same job that Willie Gay does from the backside. You lose a little bit of physicality. You do lose some size. You do lose some power there, but I think you get just as good of a run and chase player at this point in time.
And I think when people hear maybe me say, you know, safety, it, Ken alluded to this earlier, and Matt did as well. They think a guy that's going to get overwhelmed by a pulling guard, that man's going to stick his nose in there. He's going to try and stack and shed. It's just he may not have the mass of a Willie Gay Jr. This is going to result in probably the best three see the field. And that may mean that Leo Chanel is a guy that's an odd man out for whatever reason there. And that's going to stink for him, but his time will definitely come. But I do think that they're going to give the best three the opportunity to see the field. And because there's such a low investment in every single one of these guys, yes, Willie Gay Jr. is a second round draft pick. If Leo Chanel beats him out and Drew Tranquil beats him out, it's not like it's that big of a deal. It's just a second rounder that you've gotten plenty of good snaps. He's still going to play plenty. We could even see a rotation of guys. We saw that last year with Willie Gay Jr. It just might end up being a little more balanced. And oh yeah, all of these guys, other than Nick, basically, are really strong special teams players. Something that Dave Tobe had to deal with a lot of rookies last year. Drew Tranquil was starting Mike linebacker and still playing teams for the Chargers last year. So expect him to make a contribution in that effort as well.
Dave can get over the special teams. They had a giant punt return in the Super Bowl. All right, so a few things. Yes, Leo Chanel is getting better, so I think that's definitely something to pay attention to. He saved his best game for last. He was outstanding during the Super Bowl. I know there was a couple moments there. He got Moss. That was an outstanding play in coverage. A lot of people have talked about Willie Gay as a potential trade chip for somebody in the Southwest. I don't think that is the case. I don't believe that to be the case. I believe Willie Gay Jr. will be on the roster here in 2023. There was one more thing I wanted to say about it, but I tend to believe that there's an opportunity for Drew Tranquil to actually make some serious time here on this roster. I think Willie Gay's, you know, role is potentially being diminished a little bit, and it was a little bit last year too. People forget Darius Harris would jump onto the field for him at times. I don't know if either of you, I can't remember if either of you brought that up, but Darius Harris was rotating in for Willie Gay last year. I think you can put some pieces together and see why maybe they wanted to get a little bit more dynamic there. We're going to take a break and try to be more dynamic right after this.
You're listening to the fastest growing sports media network in Kansas City, KC Sports Network. We'll be back right after this.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button.
I got my damn namicness ready. What you said, right? Let's go. Come on.
Yeah. Good luck. Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, please, if you're watching this. By the way, KCSN Draft Guide is available for pre-orders. It's releasing here in a couple weeks. That's not terrifying for someone that's putting it together right now. But, you know, we're going to have 300-plus pages of Chiefs-specific draft content that's going to be available to you. So it's a perfect companion for draft weekend. You'll get to have something on hand immediately of our opinions on a lot of these players and how they fit the Chiefs specifically. So it's all about the Chiefs. It's 300 plus pages. There's a link to purchase it in the description of this show. It's $12.99, but you get 3 months of the KCSN Substack as well, which includes access to that KCSN Discord, all that good stuff. Link is in the description of this show here, whether you're listening, whether you're watching, it is available to you. So that wasn't the only defensive addition that this team made. The Chiefs also added safety Mike Edwards, formerly of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That is a world champion in and of himself. Don't want to talk about the reason why he's a Super Bowl champion, though, personally. But Mike Edwards, thoughts on him, Matthew?
Oh, man. Playmaker. He's just a guy. I have not seen a player just be around a football quite as much as Mike Edwards has been in the NFL. And we're talking like undercutting routes. We're talking getting over the top of stuff. Or he's that guy that every time there's a tip pass, he somehow is always the guy like right behind it. And the crazy thing is once it happens, he's a threat to take almost all of these to back for a sick, like back for a touchdown. Like he's got what I think four pick sixes in the NFL so far over four seasons. He had 2-1 game at one point in time. Like it's crazy how many interceptions he finds himself in. A lot of it is his ability to read and diagnose the field, but a lot of it is just kind of having that natural feel for reading out the field. You're dropping into coverage. You see it one route coming this way, another this way, and you're watching the quarterback's eyes. He just seems to process all of that at the same time and always at least get himself towards the football. I think there are some athletic limitations, and I think that's probably why he's been at his best when he's allowed to be a third safety. When his snaps in a game or in a season are limited to certain situations to where there's going to be 6-7 defensive backs on the field, his specific role is going to be a little bit more narrow than everything that's all encompassed in a full-time starter. So this past season for the Bucs, he took over as a full-time starter, and he had a few more struggles than he had through his first three seasons in the league. But if you go back and watch anything from 2019 to 2021, yeah, there were some injuries in there, but when he played free safety, in the box, in the slot, and this is just a guy that is very good in coverage, solid run defender when he has to come up and make plays, and just always around the football. I think that's something the Chiefs kind of want. Like you look at Juan Thornhill as a rookie, all these plays on the ball, a lot of these big highlight taking the ball away kind of plays. And then they, as his career went through the injury, he tried to get to recover, and it kind of took some time to get back there to where he was making some plays on the football again. Justin Reed, never been the highest in terms of production of making plays in the football. I don't know if Brian Cook is going to be that type of guy. Well, now you have a safety that can make plays. Now you have a safety that quarterbacks have to be a little afraid putting the ball near him because of what he can do. I think that kind of goes a long way to the mentality of the offense that you're facing.
Absolutely. Somebody asked earlier, it's just up above here, asking about the linebacker, Drew Tranquil, playing the sort of Dan Sorensen role. Guess what? That role is Mike Edwards. It's absolutely Mike Edwards. Of course, it was Grayson. Grayson is awesome. But Grayson asked that earlier. That is Mike Edwards, this ball hawk guy that's going to be a little bit rangy on the back end. He is very physical, a former cornerback, got into some trouble, ended up at Coffeyville Community College for a little while, got kind of kicked off of that, ended up at Hawaii after he transferred there, and then transferred to Kentucky for his last year, played corner throughout all of those stops. Bucks draft him in 2013 and convert him to safety. He has been pretty good there in spot starter roles. It's fun to watch a guy like that is just going to fly around, that is going to hit guys, and is going to be constantly around the ball. And it's also a guy that you can put in some man coverage. You can kick him down to the slot. He is comfortable doing those things, playing physical in the slot against a tight end, against a bigger slot receiver as well. You can trust him to carry those guys a little bit. That gives you the amoebic nature of the secondary that you're looking for out of those three safeties. Justin Reed, Brian Cook, and Mike Edwards can be interchangeable in their roles. Yes, there are going to be times where you're going to want a guy on another guy because it's not going to be a straight one-for-one swap, but you're going to be able to trot those three guys out there and not reveal what your safeties are going to be doing at any given time. I love Juan Thornhill. I'm happy Juan Thornhill got signed to an extra contract here. There was never really a time that you were going to see Juan Thornhill standing in the box and you were going to go, oh, I bet he's going to stay here and fit the run. That wasn't his forte. That wasn't the best place to use him. You can put Mike Edwards there. You can put Brian Cook there. You can put Justin Reed there. Spags will do that. And so that's going to create a multitude of different looks with three different guys that can all kind of play similarly. And this guy is a guy that can turn over the ball as well. Again, like I mentioned earlier, this is for the dime. You are improving the dime defense. He is an excellent fit as that third safety that's coming on the field.
I think the competition factor for a young safety like Brian Cook is pretty valuable too. And I think the same thing you can say actually applies, you know, to the linebacker room as well. You know, you want to continue to keep these guys pushing. You want to, you know, try to get the most out of these guys that are on their second year in the NFL, but this gives you some, you know, valuable rotational depth. It gives you some veteran experience in case some of these guys do hit a sophomore slump. I think Mike Edwards could compete for a safety spot. I think he can compete with Brian Cook for a starting role. Whether or not he ultimately does get it doesn't matter in some ways, because I think it's just good to have the kind of safety depth that this team has got to this point. You know, this is a good trio. I think Mike Edwards' ball production speaks for itself, and it's a guy I think makes a lot of sense for a young secondary still that didn't have a ton of ball production across the board. I mean, this wasn't an elite, you know, turnover machine in the back seven necessarily. You know, they did fine, but they were not necessarily, you know, an overly dynamic group when it came to taking the ball away. So put some pressure on defense and put some pressure on opposing offenses with, you know, with what, you know, Patrick Mahomes and that this and the Chiefs offense can do. And you got another guy that can get his hands on the football. I love the idea of that. So I think it just makes a lot of sense in a lot of different ways. I'm not going to say I'm surprised that the Chiefs did it. I look at this draft class and I'm not overly excited about any of these safeties stepping in from day one. There's not a ton of them that I'm just geeked out about.
Branch. round one pick, Brian Branch. Yes.
So yeah, it's like, you know, I don't think the Chiefs are going to be taking a safety early. I think they might have other issues to address on this football team besides that, which we might have to get here in a second. But I think jumping out here and addressing linebacker, addressing safety in free agency, when you look at the totality of the roster building, you know, we tend to focus and spend so much time on edge, receiver, tackle, that you forget that there are other needs on this football team and there are other ways when they're self-scouting that they can get better. And they kind of agree with what a lot of us said, the dime needs to improve. And guess what they did? They went out and drastically improved the dime and added, you know, some veteran depth from a, you know, not 50,000, let's get down to 30,000. It made a lot of sense. Both of these moves, Matthew.
Yeah. Well, and the best part about, I guess, like both moves are going to impact the dime defense. I already talked a little bit how I think Tranquil will probably be the base and maybe even the nickel. Like, I could see Drew Tranquil actually having a lot of snaps. I think Mike Edwards is probably going to settle in as the third safety. I think Brian Cook was getting better and better throughout the season. He's going to have an extra year in the system. Edwards has struggled with health a little bit in the NFL, and I think his worst season overall came when he was seeing the most reps, right? So I think you like him in this reserve role, this third safety role, but this is where it's good. Instead of getting just a deep safety, so Mike Edwards always has to play deep, or just a Dan Sorensen, what people thought of Dan Sorensen, where he has to play in the box. So, you know, instead of getting one specific guy, Mike Edwards has played over his career over 500 snaps in the box, over 1,300 snaps at free safety, over 400 snaps in the slot, right? Like, he's played everywhere that you're going to ask a safety to play. So when he comes on the field, you don't know if he's going to be sliding into the slot or if he's going to be sitting out deep or in the box. And that also allows you to move Justin Reed around a little bit, move Brian Cook around a little bit. Like, nobody's going to be in a stagnant position. I think a little issue the Chiefs ran into with Thornhill, he had to play deep. The man coverage skills weren't quite there, despite the fact that he played corner a little bit in college. So the man coverage skills weren't quite there. He wasn't a good enough tackler, or physical enough to play inside the box. He had to be your deep safety, and it made it, I don't want to say it limited the Chiefs, but you couldn't move everybody around the same way that you maybe could have when there was a Tyrann Mathieu with rookie Juan Thornhill before pre-injury and Dan Sorensen. So now you bring in three guys. All three of these safeties can play anywhere. That's what Steve Spagnuolo wants. When those guys are out there, you don't know who's going to be where, and that's what he wants. So I think that signing in particular, just from the versatility standpoint, is exactly what they were looking for in that position.
Now you look at your cornerback room that has Lajarius Sneed that can play inside, Trent McDuffie that can play inside, and then you got another corner that you're going to rely on to play outside. That's fine. You look at your defensive line, where you've got Charles Omenihue, Chris Jones, George Karloftis, Mike Dana, Tershawn Wharton, all of those guys can play any position on the front floor in the dime. And now you've got a linebacker on top of these safeties that we're talking about that has played safety before, is comfortable running the pole, especially in a Tampa 2 alignment, and can actually carry a third receiver up the seam there. There is a play, if you check out the KCSN Substack tomorrow morning, or if you're listening to this later, go check it out right now. There is a play where he's going to check Tyreek Hill, drop into a roll to undercut him and almost get an interception. He did that again a little bit in the year last year, where he was able to drop and bait Derek Carr to try and throw a pass over his head, and he was able to gain enough depth to come up with the interception. He just has that vertical element as a linebacker to help your safeties even more. Now, all of a sudden, you've got a dime group that you can do a whole bunch of crazy stuff with. You can move guys around everywhere. And boy, talk about Steve Spagnuolo and what he wants to do, especially in those third and long scenarios, especially in the dime. He wants to get crazy with his personnel and crazy with his alignments. He kind of introduced that two robber look where he's rotating out of the slot there a couple years ago, and now the entire NFL is doing it. I am very excited to see what he's cooking up, because these two moves feel absolutely predicated on his scheme and the exotic nature of it coming to play on Sundays next year.
We're taking a break. We'll be back right after this.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, your home for the best coverage on your favorite local teams. Whether you're a Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, KC Current, K-State, KU, or Mizzou fan, we've got you covered. Find KCSN on your favorite podcast platform. Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button if you're watching this. Appreciate everybody that's hanging out with us. Okay, we've gotten the two signings out of the way. Let's maybe just speculate wildly a little bit.
This man cannot get off defense fast enough.
He can't. Look at that. He's like, oh, no, we put a little shine on that defense. I'm a little bit excited about that dime. Now let's get back to my offense.
Look.
Jeez.
The Chiefs haven't made a move at wide receiver yet, and there's a lot of wide receivers flying off the board. And it is just time to just irresponsibly speculate about tweets, because everybody's talking about it. Everybody's thinking about it. Charles Omenihue, he tweets out basically to DeAndre Hopkins, when is this happening? when are you getting here? Let's do this. I'll get the quote exactly from you, and I'll be doing it by going to Patrick Mahomes likes. DeAndre Hopkins, come on, fam. We're waiting on you. # Chiefs Kingdom. That's from new defensive end Charles Omenihue. Patrick LaVon Mahomes likes it. If you're on Twitter, you can go check it right now. It's in his likes still. Patrick Mahomes also liked a tweet from Dez Bryant saying he thought that DeAndre Hopkins and Odell Beckham Jr. could both be playing for the Chiefs this year, and then unliked it. Speculate wildly. Look, I'll say this. There are not very many other options for the Chiefs at wide receiver. There are a lot of other receivers flying off the board in free agency. Brandon Cooks just got traded this weekend. The Chiefs are running out of options to improve their wide receiver position. It seems like there's really only two that kind of make sense at this point. Nuke Hopkins in a trade with the Arizona Cardinals or signing Odell Beckham Jr. in free agency. Like the options, like that's it, Matthew. Those are the only two options. They're either one of those two or they're hemmed into the draft, right? Like that's it.
So, okay, I think you skipped one of the most important parts and why this gets you so hyped. Late last week, the Chiefs did go to the Bank of Mahomes and free up, what was it, like $12 million in cap space. Now, they've eaten through a lot of it, but the fact that they went and did that, and two things. One, they didn't take as much as they could have this year, which already is kind of interesting to note. And two, they did go to him. They very specifically made sure they cleared out a certain amount of money that wasn't the most that they had to. While, yes, it's smart to not clear out as much as they had to, that makes it sound like there is some kind of plan to use a general ballpark amount of this cap space left. They have a general idea of how much money left they need to spend during this period, and it seems like they kind of went to Mahomes last Friday. I guess they did it before Friday to kind of do that. So, like, that was part number one. And then part number two is Patrick Mahomes, who doesn't hop on Twitter and do a bunch of liking of stuff, usually when it's about teammates or fans or ex-players trying to convince other players to come play with the Chiefs. That's just not the normal MO of how he operates. Throw in James Palmer talking about how wide receivers have been blowing up Patrick Mahomes' phone to try to get to play with him. There's a lot of smoke. There's a lot of smoke in this particular direction. So, you know, it's worth monitoring. It's worth, I think, getting excited, cautiously excited as a Chiefs fan. A lot of things point to the Chiefs probably trying to add something to this wide receiver room beyond just, well, look at it. And then you just look at everything that's leading up to it. There's a lot of stuff that says the Chiefs probably should try to make a move. I think Kent's right. I think the only two realistic options are Odell Beckham Jr. and trading for DeAndre Hopkins. Brandon Cooks just went off the trading block. Marvin Jones is still available as free agent. That's an older veteran that I don't think does a lot for you. And that's it. DJ Shark, he's still available. You know, there's still one semi young wide receiver available out there. That's about it. That's all. That's what's left.
Yeah, I feel, you know, we've been talking about these guys for a long time. So I'd like to cede my time to talking about Puna Ford, nose tackle. No, I think that there's a chance here. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes wants more pass catchers in Kansas City. Doesn't matter who it is. Like, I think he'd be hyped to have anybody that's out there that can come in and perform at a high level. And that's what DeAndre Hopkins, Odell Beckham Jr., even DJ Chark could do. I think it is interesting out there. You know, it's not like Dez Bryant knows a ton of stuff. Yes, he was in the league, but Dez predicts a lot of things. But I do think it's interesting that Patrick is out here liking tweets from Dez about that. Now, Charles Omenihu makes sense. Omenihu got to play with DeAndre Hopkins a little bit. He's at least got some familiarity. Who knows how much they actually spoke while the two of them were in Houston together, but a guy that was around for a little bit with him, trying to tweet at a guy, trying to bring him in. Again, on its own, you're going to look at that and you're going to say, yeah, Charles, buddy, he's trying to get this guy in here, whatever. He sees all the reports the same as all the rest of us, but it's Mahomes coming in and liking it. That really is kind of bringing everybody's attention to it. Now, Brett Veach knows Patrick Mahomes wants as many weapons as possible. Brett Veach knows that he's not going to leave the cupboard bare at wide receiver. That could be in the draft, as we've talked about, but more often than not, Brett Veach likes to go into the draft with a little more solid approach with that. I do think that the Brandon Cooks trade means something for DeAndre Hopkins if he's getting traded this year, because that trade, we didn't say that earlier, but that trade was for a fifth round pick in 2023 and a sixth round pick in 2024. Oh, and Houston had to eat $6 million of his salary this year. That's not dead money. That was extra. They opted to eat $6 million of that money so that his cap hit was only $12 million. That kind of sets the floor, essentially, for DeAndre Hopkins. But with Jalen Ramsey, as we referenced earlier last week, him only going for a third, now you've got Brandon Cooks going for a fifth and a sixth. DeAndre Hopkins and the Arizona Cardinals cannot be asking for a second. And if they are, they're going to be sitting with DeAndre Hopkins on their roster for a little while here, because the trade market has told you what players of that caliber are worth. I do think that there is a chance that DeAndre Hopkins gets dealt, and I do think that if Patrick Mahomes has his way, he'll be in Kansas City, but there's a lot of other things that come into play there.
Brandon Cooks has had 6 seasons of 1,000 yards or more in his career, which is just absurd, and he's only 29 years old. I think a couple of things. One thing that is very interesting to me about all this is, and I think we might have brought this up maybe on 21 Questions this week, but the Cowboys were rumored to be linked to Odell Beckham Jr., DeAndre Hopkins in some way, shape, or form. They move on and go grab Brandon Cooks. So if the Cowboys rumors are true that they're connected to DeAndre Hopkins and Odell Beckham as possible suitors, they moved on and went and addressed it with Brandon Cooks. That interests me too. You know, who knows what the leverage plays are, but there's national reports out there about the Cowboys. I just find that interesting in and of itself. And I mean, Adam Thielen signs. The veterans are starting to go. Like, I don't know. It piques my interest here a little bit that we're this far down the road. The Chiefs made sure to take care of edge. They made sure to take care of tackle. And now there's just nothing cooking at the wide receiver spot. Man, I don't know. I find it hard to believe that this team is not adding a veteran. Let's say they add a veteran, okay? Let's say they add a veteran, right? I don't think receivers out of the option still at 31. What getting a receiver would do, what getting a receiver for the Chiefs would do, a DeAndre Hopkins, what getting DeAndre Hopkins would do for the Chiefs in their situation is it would give them the ultimate ability to legitimately take best player available. And the thing is, the Chiefs are going to be picking at 31, 30, 32, hopefully 32 every year for the rest of our lives. But they're not going to be in position to take blue chips very often, to grab a blue chip player. But they can get the best player to fall to them. And honestly, position of need in some way, shape, or form could still fall to them. Tackle, receiver, edge, all of those would still make sense, even though they're positions that you would still consider needs. So just getting some base level of consistency, stability in the wide receiver room could, I think, you know, do wonders for this team as they're building out their draft strategies as well, Matthew.
Well, and I think that's specifically why DeAndre Hopkins, I guess, makes a lot of sense. Because, okay, say you sign Odell Beckham Jr., how confident are you that you have even temporarily fixed the wide receiver issues, right? Like, you're still probably going into the draft with a very high possibility that wide receiver is still your biggest need if it's just Odell Beckham Jr. Whereas DeAndre Hopkins, you can tell yourself, at least for the short term, for the next year, 2 years, however long he's going to be under contract, that you're probably got it fixed. You probably don't need to be trying to emphasize the wide receiver spot. Could you? Absolutely. You still could. You just wouldn't have to. It's like, that's why DeAndre Hopkins makes the most sense. Outside of last year with the cornerback position, and even though the Chiefs technically still had bodies kind of like they do at wide receiver, this year, they don't like to go into a draft with massive holes. They really don't. And this year, they have holes at wide receiver. Whether or not they like the room more than we think they should on the outside, the entire push leading up to free agency was they like the room, but they want to bring Juju Smith-Schuster back. That was the entire pitch. They
running liked it back. It.
They liked it, but they want their number one wide receiver from last year back. Well, guess who's not back? The number one wide receiver. How much do you like a room anymore if you lose the top guy? And that was the entire pitch. So I'm not saying that they lost him, you know, on quote unquote accident, that they really tried to get him back. That contract, highly doable for the Chiefs. They could have Juju Smith-Schuster right back if they wanted him back.
Right? Sorry, I'll jump back in real quick and and let you talk, Craig. But like, I think that's just another like radar going off kind of thing too when it comes to the two hottest names at the receiver position. I mean, if you look at all the context clues, you hear James Palmer saying veteran receivers are blowing Mahomes' phone up. Well, doesn't sound like it was Adam Thielen, according to reports. Because there wasn't any contact between the Chiefs and maybe it was. I don't know. I'm just saying there's two hot there's two veterans out there that are linked to the Chiefs in some way, shape, or form. Sorry. I think you, even the fact that they wouldn't pay Juju that much money tells me a lot too. Like, I think that's just another piece of all this. Just so many things point to, like, one of these guys has to be coming to Kansas City. It just makes too much sense for one of these guys to not be coming to Kansas City. Sorry, Matthew, if there was more to your point, whatever. Cool. No, go on. No. My apologies.
No. Craig can rip through this. And I think we should, after we let Craig go, we should talk about some other, like, avenues to fixing the wide receiver position that don't include, like, getting better pre-draft.
I do want to say that it's not something that has to happen right now. Obviously, a DeAndre Hopkins trade could very well happen the Monday of draft week, and it would still be just as relevant to the offseason as it would be making that move right now. So,
please, no.
Chiefs have all of the leverage here. Again, if the Cardinals are asking for the world for him, don't. Just sit on it. You know, make the Cardinals come to you in this scenario. It could even be after the draft. Make the Cardinals come to you, because it doesn't matter. You stay firm, and that's, if one thing Brett Veach has been excellent at the past couple of years is staying firm to his line of what a player's value is and not compromising on that. Do that with DeAndre Hopkins. Even though you know a player like that, you want him, don't overpay. Don't get antsy. You don't have to sit and wait. It can absolutely do that. Same with Odell Beckham Jr. It doesn't sound like he's getting what he wants. He reportedly said $4 million was all he'd been offered. Now, who knows if that's guaranteed money, overall APY, who knows what that is. But he's out here saying, I'm not getting the money that I'm expecting either. Okay, well, he's not coming to the table. He's not coming or going anywhere anytime soon. So if that's the case, sit and wait. Hold tight to your value on that. Don't overspend just because you got to fill a position in your mind. You can wait and rely on your evaluation and your player value to really come to the case.
Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button. Matthew, you want to talk about a few other options at the receiver positions, all right?
Well, I mean, not even other options, just other directions the Chiefs could go, right? So, like, okay, let's say the Chiefs don't want to part with the draft pick and pay DeAndre Hopkins what they want, and Odell Beckham Jr. is not down to take the $4 million base with incentives getting him up to 8 or 9 or whatever that is clearly being offered to him by somebody in the NFL. So let's assume that neither one of those options come true. What are the Chiefs left with? Like, the option is you go into the draft with nobody, and you're kind of pigeonholed into taking a wide receiver in round one, maybe round two, right? Like, maybe you wait till the end of round two, but it's a, you know, as everyone said, it's a down wide receiver year. What are you really going to be getting at the end of round two comparatively? And that's kind of where wide receiver play starts to fall off, is round two. If you're not getting a wide receiver in the first two rounds, your odds of, like, getting a starter, let alone a star, like a true number one, are significantly decreased. So you're kind of pigeonholing yourself in the draft to have to take a wide receiver early. And do you think they would go that route? I mean, do we honestly think the Chiefs would try to go into the draft kind of with that concept on their mind, knowing they need to take one early on?
No, Brevich doesn't like to do that. He doesn't want to do that. Even the George Karloftis and Trent McDuffie picks last year, like, they knew they were going to have Carlos Dunlap on the table a little bit later. They had, you know, Mike Dana that they were high on. As far as Trent McDuffie, L'Jarius Sneed was playing in the slot. They knew that they needed to address the cornerback position, but not something that they had to invest a first-round draft pick in. They were going to be able to piece some stuff together. Had DeAndre Baker that Steve Spagnuolo liked, obviously, you know, didn't work out. But at this point in time last year, we were talking about, you know, it's L'Jarius Sneed, Rashad Fenton, DeAndre Baker. That's good enough. They can start with that.
And they brought in Lonnie, too.
And they brought in Lonnie Johnson. Yeah, exactly. So it's like, man, you got dudes. Like, you got enough guys that you can piece it together. You don't need a round one corner. Well, they turn around, they take a round one corner who helped evolve and shift their defense in an extremely positive way. So I think what you'll see is, if anything, you're going to see another minor level signing, a guy that everybody's comfortable enough with going in here just to go into the draft and then try and focus on taking a round one, round two guy. I mean, we were all kind of settled on receiver being like the number one most important need at this point last year. And then they go out, they sign Juju Smith-Schuster, sign MVS, but they still needed a round one wide receiver. Eh, they waited took Sky Moore. So a lot can change between now and the draft. A lot of veterans could get added, guys that we're not even thinking about, maybe a smaller trade that we're not even talking about. There are lots of elements and lots of ways that you can get into the draft without feeling like you need somebody ASAP. Conversely, there's a lot of position groups that we're looking at that we're like, nah, it's settled now that we may see a guy in round one that we're like, oh, wow, I'm glad we got that guy.
Brian Branch. I'll throw this scenario out. And Matthew, don't kill me for this.
I'm doing it.
I love to throw scenarios that I don't necessarily believe in into the group chats. I like to create the most bland mocks I possibly can to throw at these guys. They can attest. If the answer was this.
No, terrible.
I'm pretty sure that's going to be the answer. If the answer was we're going to take a tight end at the end of 31, at the end of round one, at pick 31, and that's the approach, that's the move that they decide. How do you feel about that?
I mean, the same way I do right now, that they would have a move at wide receiver that they have planned post-draft. Because I don't think there would be any chance in the world that they go into week one next year with this wide receiver room. Their Kadarius Toney, who they have claimed as their wide receiver one, can't play three games in a row without being hurt. They didn't trust Sky Moore to do anything but jet sweeps. And MVS is a very valuable role player, but he's just as likely to have zero or one catches in a week as he has four catches. They can't go into the week one with this wide receiver room. So if they come out of this draft with a high investment in tight end, I'm just going to be sitting there thinking, huh, they got a post-draft trade, or they're going to sign Odell Beckham Jr. after the draft is their move. Now, it's fine. Like, I wouldn't like it during the draft. I would clearly be upset if we get to the end of round one and they're passing on wide receivers to take a tight end, or we get to round two and they still haven't taken a wide receiver. In the moment, I would be annoyed. But afterwards, I'd be like, oh, they have a move coming, because this wide receiver room is not good enough to go into week one with.
I mean, if they take a tight end, like, we're going to have weeks of speculation about 13 personnel. Unfortunately, that's a boring offseason, fellas. So let's hope that they take a wide receiver early.
Yeah, I'm just throwing that out there. I'm just there's so many things.
I can see it. I mean, I can. Travis isn't getting younger. I mean, I get it. I
think there's a path to explaining it to the fan base. Mm-hmm. I think there's a logical path. Hey, we're going to take some pressure off of Travis. You know, we want to add another big body pass catcher. You know, we want to add somebody there. We like, you know,
take a position that doesn't take 3 years to develop. Maybe
that take it's not wrong, but I just, you know, I'm just
one more idea. A lot of people have asked about this. Okay. One, do you see Mecole Hardman coming back to the Chiefs? And two, do you think that changes anything that we've talked about?
Nothing. It doesn't.
I don't think it. I think it's just Kadarius Toney insurance, or, you know, I think that that's all it is. We talked about it during the playoff run there. He offers you a little bit of red zone horizontal stretch, and that's good. That's valuable to this team. I'm not mad at them bringing Mecole Hardman back, but it doesn't move the needle for me in a major way.
You can't count that as a tangible improvement to this group. Right. That's just, I mean, no offense. That's not adding to what this offense needs. That's not adding to what the offense had without Juju. But I agree. There's just no logic. It just doesn't make sense logically that they would lean on a group that was falling apart last year with Juju Smith-Schuster. You know, like, it just, that
I
just,
don't see it. Yeah.
I just can't see it.
I don't see it. I have a hard time wrapping my mind around it. I do want to say too, for the Mecole thing, I would find it really hard to believe this front office and coaching staff bringing back a guy posting videos of practice highlights, you know, beating up on teammates. Like, I get what he's doing, but I also just, that seems like a hard sell to this specific higher ups department of, like, that being okay on social media.
Yeah, I mean, no, that's, I tend to agree.
That's, I mean, you're dunking on your own teammates there with practice film. Like, go find some game film. Like, I mean, seriously, I know what the next logical thing to say there is. I'm not saying it, but
I'm not going to either. You're all thinking it.
I mean, but, like, yeah. Dude, Come on now.
No, I agree. Right. No, there's enough. There's enough through McCole Hardman's career that he could have pulled 8 highlights that say, hey, look at me. I'm a good football player from game film. 100% there is game film of him doing stuff just as impressive. That's the next thing. Maybe part of the issue is those he thinks are his best 8 plays he can show. I don't know. Maybe that's part of the issue that we're dealing with. But he could have found other stuff, right? So I don't think it's likely he comes back. I also don't think he'd want to. What, he comes back, and even in the current state as is, he's wide receiver 4 for this team.
He's jet sweeper 2.
Right. That's what I mean. He comes back, he doesn't have a role for this particular team right now. And that's before the draft, in which if he comes back, they're going to take a wide receiver early, who's probably going to be a guy that would insert in the depth chart at least equal with him or ahead of him, right? It's like, it makes no sense for him to come back, but it doesn't make any sense for the Chiefs either. At least that's what my stance is on it. I'm not upset if they bring him back for like a vet minimum kind of deal, because nobody else is offering him that. But that's about as high as I would go, because I just don't see that role for him. He's literally an insurance policy for Kadarius Toney, who unfortunately probably gets hurt at some point in time during the season.
All right. Well, that is going to do it for this episode of the KC Laboratory. Plenty to discuss, I'm sure, on Thursday. We're hoping. We're hopeful. We're hoping that these likes from Patrick Mahomes mean something. We appreciate everybody that's watching.
We're live before then.
Hit that live like button. Hit that subscribe button on the way out. We appreciate you. We'll catch you later.
D-Hop number 1.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard and think others would as well. You can find all 6 of our channels at KCSN, covering the Chiefs, the Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou, by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.